Y así se volvió un bache.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for your strength that is upholding us in your righteousness. Thank you for helping us to grow in the knowledge of you, even experiential knowledge of you. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for the doors you have opened for us. Thank you for the progress you have given to us. Thank you, Lord, for showering your blessings on our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are grateful for saving our souls. We are very grateful for the redemption you have given us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for destroying the power of sin in our lives. Thank you for always guiding and correcting us so that we can live your lives, holy lives, in your sight. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the transformation that your teaching produces in our spirits, souls, and bodies. Thank you, faithful Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for putting in us strong desire, strong passion, strong hunger for your will, for your ways, for your word, for your revelations, for your presence. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are here this evening to seek your face, to learn at your feet, to have fellowship with you in your presence. O Lord, speak to us from your heart. Teach us even more than we will hear. Help us to be rich in understanding, in revelations, and in wisdom. In the name of Jesus, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Have your will in our lives. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. May I welcome you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue with our teaching Today we're going to be looking at a topic that says, consider the faith of those who covet riches. Faith as in F-A-F-A-T-E. Faith. Yeah, consider the faith of those who covet riches. Faith means the end of the lives of those who covet riches, where the covetousness took them. Yeah. The future of those, the destination of those who covet riches. And that is our topic. That is our topic for tonight. Consider the faith of those who covet riches. Remember that we have been looking at a broad topic that says Christians' relationship to society, how you should relate to society as a Christian. And we are under the subtopic of, or the subtopic that says work and employment, which means, or which implies that as you work as a Christian, as you work for money, work for an employer, work in a company, work for a company, work for an organization, or you work for God, work in a church, work for a church, work under a pastor, work as a pastor. Yeah, you should consider the faith of those who covet riches, because we have examples of people in the Bible who went after riches, and we saw what their hands were. Yeah, we saw their hand in the Bible. So we want to look at some of those people, or some of those instances in the Bible, and how we should hear God as we meditate on those passages. Yeah, I want us to open your Bibles to the book of Psalm. Psalm 49. This is a Bible study class. So you need to open your Bibles. Yeah. Maybe your Bible is on your phone, wherever it is, just open. Psalm 49, verse 16 to 20. Psalm 49, verse 16 to 20. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. But then he died. He shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. The while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. Let me read from New Living Translation so that you can understand better. So don't be dismayed when the wicked grow rich. Yeah. I want you to follow the verses very carefully. Psalm 49 from verse 16. This is New Living Translation. So don't be dismayed when the wicked grow rich and their homes become ever more splendid. For when they die, they take nothing with them. Their wealth will not follow them into the grave. In this life, they consider themselves fortunate and are applauded for their success. But they will die like all before them, never again see the light of day. People who boast of their wealth don't understand. They will die just like animals. Praise the Lord. So this is a portion from the scriptures to you and I to carefully consider the faith of those who covet riches. So here, the Bible is saying, don't be moved. Don't be dismayed when you see the wicked become rich. When you see their homes become more beautiful. When you see them acquire more properties, when you see them create more companies, yeah, when you see their riches and wealth grow, yeah, whether create or establish, when you see them keep growing in their businesses and career. The Bible says, don't be moved. Don't be dismayed. And a lot of Christians make this mistake. Even some of you here, you make the same mistake. When you see the riches of the wicked grow, you start to you start to pervert that preachings. Yeah. And then you start to think, why can't I also have this kind of riches? This man or this woman doesn't know God. But I know God. I have been serving God all these years. I have been faithful. Why can't I also have these beautiful things? That is a sin. Anytime you start doing that, you are committing sin against God. Yeah. So the Bible says don't consider even the growth of the riches of the wicked. Don't even think about it. Yeah. Don't even bother about it. Yeah, don't let it move you at all. Why? Because everything is just rubbish. There is nothing that we have brought into this world that will leave this world. I mean, there is nothing we have in this world that will leave this world with us. Yeah, because we have brought nothing into this world and we shall go with nothing. Yeah, so all of those beautiful things, beautiful cars, beautiful mansions, beautiful what else? Properties. They will all perish. All of them. It is just a matter of time, matter of years. They will all perish. They will all perish. So why do you covet things that are going to perish? Yeah, why do we covet things that are going to perish? In verse 17, for when they die, they take nothing with them. Their wealth will not follow them into the grave. When they die, they take nothing with them. Their wealth will not follow them into the grave. I've seen people who stop serving God because of money. They stop following God, stop serving God, stop pleasing God because of money. And no wonder if they took time to think that this money that I have made so important is temporal, is going to end. And it's going to end in this world. But this God that I'm falling away from, this God has no end. He is eternal. So people are trading eternity with God for money. I don't know if I get my point. People trading eternity with God for money. Yeah, so they prefer to throw away God and pick up money and riches and wealth of this world. Yeah. They never took time to reason that this money will, I mean, this money is not eternal. It is either it leaves to me or I will leave it here when I die. I don't know why they never took time to think about that. Yeah. So as Christians, we should not covet riches. We should not, because they have no life in them. There is no life in riches and wealth. Don't let anyone deceive you. If anyone tells you boy, girl, come and enjoy life. Tell them there is no life in that place you are telling me to come and enjoy life. There's no life in anything in this world. The only place where life is in Jesus. There's no life in money. It's all emptiness. Destruction, evil. The Bible says the root of all evil is money. That is the source of all evil is money, or the love of money, however you put it. Love of money simply means unending or irresistible craving for money. That is love of money. Irresistible craving. That is a craving that cannot be stopped. Like a desire in you that you cannot stop. You just want money. I just want money. I just want money. I just need to have money. I just have to be rich. I just want money. I just want money. So that irresistible craving, that is love of money. Irresistible craving for money. Yeah, just as you can have irresistible craving for God, and then you say that is love of God or love for God. Yeah. So the Bible says that is the source of all evil, the root of all evil. So inside of money, you're going to see a lot of evil. Inside of money, a lot of evil. You will not find life in riches of this world. There is no life there. There is no life there. Even the rich people of the world, after they have accumulated so much riches, they come to a conclusion that, I mean, they came to a point where they were now looking for purpose to channel those riches into. So initially when they started to make the money, they were not thinking about any specific purpose. They were only thinking about themselves and how to show their pride, or how to showcase pride. They were not thinking about any other thing. It was just about themselves and their family members. So at the point they came to realize that all these things they are all these things they have been accumulating is just rubbish. Why? Because at the point they began to think about the day they would die. And they began to look for purposes to channel those wealth. Purposes that they can use those wealth to fulfill. Yeah. So they began to channel those wealth to fulfill certain purposes. Yeah, because at the point they realized that these things are just vanities, emptiness. Yeah, they realized that just a slight mistake, they can lose all their billions. Now, do you know that if you happen to forget some sensitive information about your bank account, somehow you happen to forget some sensitive information about your bank account, do you know you could lose all the money in your bank account? Yeah. The banking system of the world is now going digital. Yeah. So a time is coming now that all those paper documentations that you go to the bank to submit documents so that your account can be validated. A time is coming that all of that will be trashed. All of those documentations, paperwork or documents or whatever people submit to open bank accounts, all of them will be thrown into dustbin. So now everything will become digital. So if you happen to forget some passwords, you can just lose all your money forever. Even cryptocurrencies, if you just make a slight mistake, you can lose all the cryptocurrencies. Yeah. So my point is that even the rich people, they are coming to see that there is nothing in money. The money is emptiness. It's just full of emptiness. That it is vanity, just as Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. He said, all is vanity. Vanity upon vanity. Yeah. So we should not covet riches. Yeah. We should. We should not covet riches. Well, as Christians, as God's people, because it has no future. It has no future. Don't even envy the unbelievers that have it. Yeah. In fact, don't envy even the believers that have money. Especially those that they have been trapped by the money they have. Yeah, their souls have been trapped by the riches they have. So it has become their life. Have you seen people like that? People whose life has been trapped by the money and possession they have. You dare not talk about their money or I don't know, you dare not want to tell them to do something, maybe release the money to do something that they don't want to do. I mean, you dare not try to convince them to release their money to do what they don't want to use their money to do. You will see the way they would become so angry and so violent, and then they'll start telling you, this is my hard-earned money. I labored so hard to have this. They start telling you stories about many things. Why? Because their lives have been trapped in their wealth. So it becomes so difficult for them to be free, and so difficult for them to please God. Now you might be asking, what should Christians do if we are not to covet riches and wealth that are in this world? Then what should we do with riches and wealth that are in this world? It's simple. Use them. To serve God. Use them. To please God. Now, there's a difference between using something and failing them home. Many Christians, what they do is they pile home riches. They are just piling it up. It's even from you are using it. So the money is not going out, it's just being piled up. Now, as I'm talking to you now, there are billions. Not even billions, trillions of dollars or whatever currencies, maybe pounds, maybe euros, that are lying in banks, and there's nobody to claim them. Nobody to claim them. Because the people who want those money, who own those monies, did not even did not tell anyone that they have such monies in some places, and they thought they would live longer, but they didn't live longer. They died. So they didn't live longer as they thought. So nobody knows they had money somewhere. Nobody knows. In fact, even the next of kin did not even know he or she is the next of kin. Nobody knows about the money and the properties. They just bought all of those things and they died. Yeah, That is the fate of those that plan up riches. Yeah, so there's a difference between you are using something to glorify God than you are just accumulating. You're piling them up for no reason. Like, for instance, in the book of Genesis, God gave specific instruction that food items should be piled up for the space of 7 years. Because there's going to be 7 years of famine. So that one makes sense. Yeah. What we see today is piling up of wealth that have no purpose. If you ask them, why are you piling up all this money? What do you want to do with it? They don't really have any purpose. They don't even know. Yeah, some, I don't know, maybe they just want to be able to be included in the list of top rich people in the world. They just want to keep that position as the top rich people or rich persons in the world. So they have no purpose. They just keep piling up riches. Go and study your Bible very well. There is no biblical backing for piling up riches. So if you are a Christian, and that is what is in your mind, God is not going to bless you with riches and wealth. If God discovered that your mind is about piling up riches and not to use the riches to glorify Him in the head, God is not going to bless you, because God's wealth does not support that. Yeah, so we should not covet riches. We should rather use it. Use it to take care of yourself. I mean, use riches and wealth to take care of yourself, because your body is God's temple. Use it to take care of your children, your family. Use it to take care of other believers, your fellow brothers and sisters in the church. Use it to take care of servants of God, ministers of God. Use it to take care of the things of God on earth. So make sure you are always using the wealth, not hoarding it. Yeah, and it is as you are using it for the will of God that God will continue to bless you. Yeah, that is how the wealth in the kingdom of God operates. The wealth in God's kingdom does not follow people whose mindset is is to pile them up, to showcase pride, or whatever they want to showcase. Yeah, let's continue. Let us look at another scripture. Mark chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. Mark chapter 10, 24 to 25. Mark chapter 10, 24, 25. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Yeah. It didn't say, how hard is it for those who have a lot of money in their accounts? Yeah. It said, how hard is it for those who trust in riches? I want you to take note of that. So which means I can have a lot of money in my bank account and still enter into the kingdom of God. Yeah, that's what it means. It means I can have a lot of money and still enter into the kingdom of God. So the problem is not actually in the amount of the money. The money itself seems to be innocent in this case. The problem is not in the measurement of the money. The problem is in the trust. So take note of the word trust. He said, how hard is it for those that trust in riches? So the question is, where is your trust? Is your trust? Is it in riches? Trust in the bank account and those money that are there? Or is your trust in Jesus? And if we look at all people that are rich, they trust in their money, or I should say, their trust is in the money they have. And as a matter of fact, if you can monitor the flow of their thoughts, if God opens your eyes and you can monitor their thinking pattern, the movement of their thoughts, the thoughts in their mind, the flow of the thoughts in their mind, you will see that for every 3 minutes, they think about the money they have in the bank accounts and the properties and the businesses, you will see that for every 3 minutes, they think about the resources they have, the properties they have, the money they have, and they think about where they have those things. And that confirms what the Bible says when it says that where the treasure of a man is, that is where his heart will be. You can go and ask rich people about this. If they will be said, where their treasures are, even while they are in the church, and even while they are in the church, and the sermon is being preached, and you know, the program is going on, their heart will still be thinking about. Their heart is thinking about those possessions, those properties, those amounts they have in the bank, and they can tell you in their head how much they want, whether in millions or in billions. They can tell you. They have the figure in their head. What? Because that is where their trust is. Trust in their riches and not in God. For those whose trust is in their riches and not in God, it will be very hard for them to make heaven. Very hard. So you might be asking, what does it mean? Trust in riches. It's simple. To trust in riches is to look up to it for your survival, for your needs. I don't know if you understand. You trust in riches when you believe that it is the riches that gives you food. You believe it is the, like maybe those that are working for instance. Those that are high in salary. If you are always looking up to the salary as what gives you survival, or maybe it's pension, your heart is always looking up to that amount of money that comes every month, and you look up to that amount for survival, for the whole of that month, for feeding, for the provision of your needs, then it means your trust is in money. Yeah, that is what it means. When you look up to money for your survival, your daily survival, and for your daily needs, then your trust is in money and not in God. It's as simple as that. Yeah. So which means whenever it appears whether it appears to or in reality there is absence of money in your hands. Yeah, whether a situation happened, you couldn't access the money you have in your account, or you don't even have any money at all, you begin to feel very insecure and you begin to feel very fearful. Because it's like my only source of survival is going away. So now I'm going to starve to death. That is a sign that your trust is in money. I don't know if you are getting my point. I'm taking time to break it down for you so that you will not say you don't know this thing. Or you will not say you were not told about this. Yes. So that you can fully understand this truth. That is why I'm taking it very slowly, step by step. Yeah, so that you can look at your life and see how much trust you have given to money, and quickly adjust. Now, let us look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to read from verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Praise the Lord. So you can see here, God allowed the children of Israel to go through of times, hunger, thirst, because he wants to prove what was in their heart. He wants to prove where their trust is. So he allowed them to suffer in the wilderness. He wants to know where their trust is. But many of them failed him. Yeah. After they went through hunger for some few days, we don't know how many days, but I'm sure it was not many days. Because God is not wicked. He wouldn't allow them to go through a temptation they cannot bear. God will not allow them to go through something they cannot be. So we don't know how long they were hungry, but instead of them to trust God for provisions, they began to murmur against God. They began to even murmur against God's servant. Yeah, you know the story. It's all in the Old Testament, especially the book of Exodus. Yeah, so my point is, God allowed them to suffer so that he can be sure of where their trust is. They wanted to know, is their trust in the food, which today we can call money, because if you have money right now, is equal to you have food, because you can just walk out there and buy food with money. Yeah. So God wanted to be sure if their trust is in food or in him. He wanted to be sure where their trust lies. And many of them failed him, despite having seen him do a lot of miracles among them, yet they still couldn't trust him. And then that verse in verse 3 says, God wanted them to know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. What does that mean? Yeah, I want you to look at it this way. After God has created human beings into the world, not even after, before God created human beings, everything has been set. The plants of the field, the trees, everything to eat, God have already provided. Yeah, so which means God did not just create man into a world to suffer or into the head to suffer. God already have created everything that will keep man alive forever. God have created them, he have placed them in the head before he created man and put him there. But we know what happened. Man sinned and fell. Yeah. So God now is saying that even though there is food in the world, even though there is money in the world, you must not trust them. You must trust me. So that is what it means when it says, man shall not live by bread only. So God knows there is bread in the world. Like right now, some people are suffering. They don't even have food that they will eat this night. Yeah. And yet, some people have surplus that they are even wasting it. Yeah, some people, they need certain amount of money so badly, and yet they can't get it. And whereas there's someone that is literally throwing money into fire, and the fire is burning the money. Do you know people do that? They just, for fun, pack some bills. I don't know if you have seen that before. People do it just for fun, they will just pack some large amount of currency notes, and they'll just throw it inside fire. And whereas someone is suffering somewhere, looking for those paper money. Yeah. So God knows that there is bread in the head, because He created everything. He put everything there. He knows there is money in the head, but He does not want you to trust in the brain or trust in the money. That's why He said, man shall not live by bread only. Yeah. So in the case where you don't even have the brain, and you don't even have the money, you should be happy that you have God as a Christian. Yeah. Even when there is no bread, even when there is no money, you should be so excited that you have a strong relationship with God. You should be excited that you have His presence, and that He still talks to you and you talk to Him. Because that is the most important. Yeah. I don't care about the rest. If I have like this, I have turned down a lot of money. Yeah. Because of my personal relationship with God. I don't want to know the amount. Yeah, because they don't matter to me. What really matter is my work with God. So that is my greatest treasure. Yeah. So if I was after money, I wouldn't be here right now. Yeah. I would have been somewhere else, doing something else. And if at all I'm still doing ministry, I wouldn't be doing ministry the way I'm doing it now. It would not be pure. Whatever ministry I'm doing will not be acceptable in the sight of God. But I don't care about money. I care about my work with God. So if you still have a relationship with God and you think that is not valuable, and you are willing to, because of money, hurt that relationship that you have with God, or damage that relationship that you have with God, you are a fool. And I'm not the one that says that. It's Jesus that says that. Yeah. Let me show you where Jesus said. Anyone who does not have a rich relationship with God is a fool. Let me show you. I think I even posted about that today in the group. You can go and read the latter part of the message I posted in the group today. Yeah, you see it in Luke chapter 12. verse. Yeah, just read. You can read from verse 13 downward, 13 to 23. Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 23. You will see where Jesus said, but God said to him, "You fool." Okay, that's not where I'm going. Yeah, he said, "Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. A person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God." So you become a fool if you think that your relationship with God is less valuable. You think money, storing up wealth, is more valuable than your relationship with God. You become a fool, yeah, in the sight of God. Yeah, so let us be wise as Christians. Be wise. Don't let anyone buy your salvation with money. How much is worth the price of your soul? There's no amount of money that is worth the price of your soul. Don't let anyone buy your salvation. Yeah, if you're a minister of God, don't let anyone buy your calling. Because they have some amount of money to give you. And then, I don't want to talk much. Now, let's move on. Let us read. Okay, I've not talked about the high of the needle. I believe you know what the high of the needle mean in that, because I think some people don't know what the high of the needle mean in that place that I read. In Matthew chapter 10, sorry, not Matthew. In Mark chapter 10, verse 25. Do you know what the high of the needle mean in that place? Because some people have asked questions like, we don't know what Jesus meant by saying it is easier for a camel to go through the high of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Yeah, so let me quickly explain what the high of a needle meant. The high of a needle is a small opening, usually at the gate to maybe to the city of Jerusalem. Yeah, I think during the Sabbath, because they don't want people to walk. Yeah, because people should not walk according to the law on the Sabbath day. So I think they will close the gate, the city gate. Yeah. But they created a small opening beside the gate. A very small opening that cannot allow two people to go through at a time. So they create this opening for travelers, yeah, that didn't actually go to farm to work, but they are probably coming from somewhere, traveling down to Jerusalem. Yeah, so usually when these travelers are coming, they will first of all offload the camel. They will take away all the loads on the camel. And they will first of all let the camel go through that hole. It's like a small hole. So that's why it is being called the high of a needle. So it's a small hole beside the city gate, beside the gate of the city. So after the camel have passed through the hole, then the traveler will now also go through with those loads one by one. Yeah. So Jesus was comparing the entrance of people that trust in riches into God's kingdom to the high of a needle. So he was saying that even camel will be able to pass through, but those that are rich, or those that trust in their riches, they'll find it difficult to pass through. Why? Because they will be trapped by their riches. They will not be able to, they will not want to leave anything behind. If you preach to a rich man to give his life to Jesus, he will first of all look at you, and sometimes the rich man might question you and say, do I look like someone that is suffering? Do I look like someone that has problems? Because they feel like it's those that are suffering that should give their lives to Jesus. I don't know who told them that. Yeah, so though they have money, but they don't know that they are suffering. They are suffering in their souls. Yeah, so the eye of the needle can only allow one person to pass through at a time. Yeah. So you will have to drop something. If you have something on you, you will have to drop it to pass through. Yeah, you can't carry so much loads and still pass through the high of the needle. Yeah, so because those that trust in riches, they have been trapped by their riches, and they can't surrender the riches to Jesus. So it becomes difficult for them to pass through the eye of a needle. So it's just an illustration that Jesus just used that as an illustration of how it is hard for those that trust their riches to enter into God's kingdom. It is hard because they have entangled themselves with so many things of this world, and to give up many things for Jesus is hard. So those things that those riches that they trust in is what is going to pull them back from entering into God's kingdom. Yeah, so that's the meaning of the high of a needle. Yeah, according to Mark chapter 10 verse 25. So anytime you come across this verse, now you know what it means. When Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the high of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Yeah. I just feel like I should explained that. So now let's move to First Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. Open your Bibles to that place. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. So you can see the word foolish there again, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I pray that you will not hear from the faith through money in Jesus' name. Yes. Let me read from New Living Translation. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. Yeah. So even the desire for riches alone will create so many temptations for you. Yeah. So that is why I encourage people to discover their purpose in God instead of desiring to have a lot of money. Instead of you desiring to be rich, find your purpose in God. Find your calling in God. Then you can now ask God to bless you for the sake of that calling and purpose. Yeah. But if you just wake up, want money, and then all your desire is, I just want money. I just want a lot of money. Well, I am afraid you might perish with that, you and the money eventually. But in most cases, people don't even get the money before they perish. And then some, they get the money eventually and they perish with the money. Yeah, so instead of you just having the desire of want a lot of money, I want a lot of money, why not discover first your purpose in God? What God wants you to do for Him here on earth? And then that will be able to deliver you from covetousness, because you will know that you are not, and start finding your purpose. Then you will know that you are not making money because of yourself or because of your greed. You will know that you are making money because of a divine purpose that needs to be fulfilled on earth. Yeah. So I encourage you to go and find those purpose for your life, so that money will not be become a snare that will lead to your downfall. In Jesus' name. Before we round off, let us look at James chapter 1, verse 10 to 11. James chapter 1, verse 10 to 11. But the rich in that is made low, because as the flower of the grass it shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Yeah. Believe you know what that means. I've talked about it. Now, if anyone comes to you and ask you, are you rich or poor? What is going to be your answer? If anyone comes to you and asks you, and the person says, are you a rich person or you are a poor person, what will be your answer as a Christian? Yeah, because there's no time I would have asked all of you to answer the question one by one. Yeah, would you say you are rich? Or would you say you are poor? And if you say you are rich, on what grounds? Yeah, on what basis are you rich? Yeah. If you say you are poor, on what basis are you poor? Now, let me just answer the question for you. The truth is that Christians are rich people, very rich people, because of the kingdom we belong. Yeah, and we have seen through the scriptures how God takes care of his own people, even by commanding presidents or kings of nations one here for his people. So because we belong to the possessor of the heavens and the earth, we are his children. Yeah, because our Father owns everything. So that makes us rich people. And our riches is not in earthly currencies. Our riches is in power, is in the power of God, the dominion of God, the authority of God, to give us whatever we need at any time we need it. That is where our riches are as Christians. And because of this, we must not see ourselves as rich according to the standard of this world. So now, let's say for instance, I have billions of money in my account. And then you come and ask me, are you a rich person? I'll tell you, no, I am not. Or maybe I have trillions. And then you come and ask me, are you a rich person? I'll say, no, I am not. Why? Because you're asking me based on the standard of riches of this world. Yeah, you're not asking me based on the standard of the riches of the world that I belong, because I don't belong to this world. Yeah, so if a Christian have too much money, he should not call himself rich according to the standard of this world. Yeah. So we are rich, but not according to the rich, according to the definition of riches of this world. Yeah. So whether you have money or you don't have money as a Christian, you are rich. Yeah. So, and if you have money, don't call yourself rich. Don't even show it that you are rich. Yeah, else you will fall. Soon you will fall by that riches. So don't even show it that you are rich, because you are not. You are not rich according to the definition or interpretation of riches of this world. Yeah. But every one of us are rich according to the definition of riches in God's kingdom. Yeah, so that is why any Christian that have money should not even consider that they own that money, that it is their own. They should see themselves as stewards. Custodian of God's riches. So it's more like I'm helping. It's just like what banks does. Banks help you to save your money. Yeah. So every Christian that is rich in quotes, that have money in quotes, should see themselves as banks that is helping God to store his money. I don't know if you are getting my point. So if God helps you and bless you, and then you have some money, don't call yourself rich. Otherwise, that will be the end of your salvation. Before you know it, you are gone. The same money will take you away from God, I'm telling you. But it is better you see yourself as a bank that is helping God to store his money on hand. Yeah, or you see yourself as a steward. Yeah. So God can give an instruction and say, transfer this amount to this place. And then you say, yes, sir, I will do that. And then you just transfer. Because you and God have come to the agreement that what you have is not your own. Yeah, that you are just a bank holding God's money for him, waiting for instruction on where to channel the money and what to do with the money. It is safer, or it is safe that way than working with your shoulders high, and then you put on very expensive garments, and then you walk with shoulders high, and then you walk into the church. Everybody knows that, yes, that's a billionaire woman, a billionaire man. Yeah, and then you are showing off what you have every week. I'm not saying you should not. I've said it earlier. When you have money, you take care of yourself, you dress well, but not those very costly, expensive lifestyle. Not those lavish spending. That is not Christianity. Anyone that is doing that, I don't think they are Christians. Yeah. I believe, how do they say it? They say, a word is enough for the wise. Yeah, so I'm going to stop here. I believe you already understand everything. If you have questions, you can ask on the group. Anytime, you can always ask questions on the group. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for this teaching. Thank you for showing us from your word everything that we should know about riches, wealth, covetousness. Thank you for showing us how we should see the riches and wealth that are in this world, and how we should seek for riches in our relationship with you and not in earthly possessions. Praised forever in Jesus' name. And ask, O Lord, that you help every one of us here to apply these truths practically in our daily living, so that we can grow spiritually, so that we can live a life that is pleasing in your sight. and so that we can make it into your kingdom on the last day. Help us to apply these teachings. Help us to be doer of this teaching and not hearers alone. In the name of Jesus, I pray for those that are still struggling about withdrawing their trust in money and putting all their trust in you. Oh Lord, help them to be free from the bondage of money in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that whatever you are going through at the moment shall not blindfold you to become a servant of money in the name of Jesus. Whatever you're experiencing, whether you're experiencing a season of scarcity or lack or poverty, I pray that it will not deceive you into trading your relationship with God for money. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.